Now, back to Murph and Mac on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Every now and then, we check in with our friends of the program. And for years and years, back when the Warriors and Cavs were waging wars in June, our guy was Joe Vardon. Back then, he was tucked away locally in northeastern Ohio. Now he's blown up nationally at The Athletic, talking basketball. Joe, welcome back to your buddies, Murph and Mac, although Paulie's off getting vaxxed right now. It's just me and Adam Copeland. How are you, brother?
Well, tonight I will be attending in person my first NBA basketball game since December 27th due to these vaccinations. And it just happens to be the Golden State Basketball Warriors against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So how about that?
How about that? You're going to get wicked flashbacks, and then you're going to be like, is that Gary Payton II out there? He wasn't on the team last time I saw them, right? So,
yeah. Well, yeah, I read Slater this morning and saw that that might be a possibility. And, you know, it'll be a little quieter in there tonight, I think, than we're used to.
You're not getting James Wiseman either, and that's a whole other topic. But, dude, this Steph Curry thing is crazy. Okay, so he's averaging a career high in a career in which he's already been called the greatest shooter of all time. And he's at more than the 2016 season. Here's his seven games this month: 36, 37, 41, 32, 38, 53, 42. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, this just goes back to the argument that's been around for a long time. It's an argument that Rachel Nichols makes on The Jump a lot, but we have it, you know, all over the league, is what does valuable mean when we talk about most valuable player? I was thinking about this morning, and now, caveat, I'm probably not going to vote for him. because they're not going to, you know, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's playing on the 10th place team. But who is more valuable to his team this year than Steph Curry? I don't see how you could make an argument. I just don't. I mean, he was out last year. They lost all those other guys. They lose all these games. He comes back. He plays the way he's playing. Maybe wins the scoring title, and their win total, increases exponentially. It's still not very good in terms of getting all the way to the top, but I don't see it. I don't see how you could make a case that any one player is more valuable to his team this season than Steph Curry.
What's hilarious is that you just said that, and then you said, and I'm not going to vote for him.
That's right, because I think I take the more common sort of slang definition of MVP, which is who's the best player on the best team, who's impacting winning the most on the best team, or who is having a – when Russ averaged a triple-double, I voted for him because who is having the most – statistically significant season in decades. Like if something like that happens, then I'll vote that way. But I don't actually normally stick to that to the textbook definition of valuable, which actually is why I haven't voted for LeBron probably as much as you would think that I would have. I just thought, I think you could all those years when he was in Cleveland for sure, 100%. He was the most valuable player on his team, more so than anybody else, and he never won it in those 4 years, just because there were players more deserving if you broaden the definition.
Yeah, I was going to say, because obviously people know Joe Vardon, the voice you hear on the UMA guest line here, covered LeBron closely for so many years that this argument could have been made for LeBron for 10 straight years, right? Know, 15 straight years. So for Steph's getting a taste of what LeBron has experienced.
Yeah, I think so. And this, and Steph, obviously, two-time winner. I think LeBron has four, if I'm not mistaken, but he's played longer. The last time you had me on, I was talking about how much fun I've had watching Steph from afar this year and how good of a feeling it leaves you because he's doing this without the protection of Clay and without KD there to just totally wreak havoc on anyone trying to defend this team ever. Now, from an offensive standpoint, it's pretty much just him, and he is awesome. You know, my 10-year-old here lives in Cleveland his whole life. He says Steph's his favorite player, and people ask him why, and he says, well, because he changed the game. And it's so great to be able to watch Steph continue to do this without some of the help that he had when the Warriors were at their peak.
Good stuff, man. And listen, we can talk Steph forever. We do it pretty much every day. So just spin around the league a little bit, Joe, while we have you here. Your old guy, LeBron, and the Lakers. You know, my whole mission in life is if the Warriors aren't going to win it, I just want anybody but the Lakers. That's kind of my rule in life. And I don't know, I might get my wish. You know, from an NBA perspective, these injuries to Anthony Davis and LeBron, what's your view of this Lakers situation and the health, and what do you know, and can they make a run when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty high on the Lakers. I just haven't really written about it lately. I haven't talked too much about it. I was down on them when LeBron got hurt, not knowing the severity of the injury, not knowing, you know, what would be the case with him when they get into the playoffs. And if he turns his ankle less severely, like, does he have to miss more time? Because high ankle sprains just suck. I mean, there's no other way around it. But I think, like, if he's okay and Anthony Davis is okay, then they have the chemistry over a period of two seasons now to where they'll be fine. And I actually really like how they have played without them. Yeah, there's been up and downs. Yeah, there's been some bad losses here and there, but that's to be expected. I like the way that Schroeder has played. Montrezl Harrell, I think, has really acquitted himself. And, you know, this Drummond pickup is interesting. We'll see how much better he gets playing alongside those guys. And I had been pretty critical of the job that Rob Pelinka and the Laker front office had done over the offseason. I feel like they got too high of marks for the moves that they made. But now I look at this team and I don't know that Brooklyn is that much deeper than the Lakers if the Lakers are 100%. So I hate to do this to you, man, but I feel pretty good about them so long as LeBron's ankles stay attached to his legs.
Man, all right. So you're not buying Utah, Denver, Phoenix, the upstart Phoenix Suns? You're just not seeing it, huh?
I feel bad about being so dismissive of both of those teams, and it's just Utah, and they are welcome. The Jazz, of course, are welcome to prove me wrong. They've got great players up and down, but they just have that, like, 2015 Hawks feel to me. Just regular season juggernaut. They enjoy the game. They move the ball. They do everything right. And then you could just see a scenario where they get into a 7-game series against LeBron, and LeBron just ruins them. So until that doesn't happen, I'm not going to pick the Jazz.
And the Phoenix is just too young or not deep enough? What do you think?
Yeah, I think not deep enough. I do like their team a lot. Chris Paul obviously has changed some things. But, you know, I just said that, but I was having an argument with a colleague who I won't name, but a national voice and wants to include Chris Paul in the MVP conversation. Hmm. And I kind of waved him off because he's like, oh, you know, he changed the Suns. Look at how much different. And that's actually not that fair to them, because they did run the table in the bubble, and the progress that you see now, they were clearly making it. They were clearly building momentum last year down there, and maybe could have gotten into the playoffs and all that. So, you know, so I like the Suns. I don't think they have enough guys who have been there. I mean, really, Chris Paul is pretty much the only guy who's really been there, and he hasn't gotten to the finals either. So, you know, I have them behind those guys, and I wouldn't count out the Clippers either. I mean,
yeah,
championship coach and Kawhi, just killer when it matters. And so, you know, I think they're in the mix too, for sure.
Clippers have won 7 in a row, but man, they just remain the Clippers forever. We saw it in the bubble last year. It really is. I mean, it's such a, I know it's not like deep analysis, hashtag analysis, but you're the Clippers, right? You know what I mean? That's the analysis.
Yeah.
Hey, quickly on the East before we let you go, Joe. Joe Vardon of The Athletic, kind enough to spend some time withstanding our Steph love here, although his 10-year-old is with us on that. I like that. Dude, the Brooklyn Nets, I've never seen a team just like killing. I mean, I have seen a team. The Warriors a couple years ago with Durant, they were just killing time until the championship series. I was like, we were just joking. Yeah. Like when the Warriors with Durant, Clay, and Steph, I was like, we were just like, okay, wake us in May. All right, wake us in June. The Brooklyn Nets just they're 37-18. They're never together as a group. They're like that family with all the kids off at college or something. It's like they haven't had family dinner together in years. It's like I saw again last night they played, I think, without Durant and Harden again. I it's like I wouldn't even recognize them if they had Kyrie, Durant, and Harden on the floor at the same time. What's your take on the Nets?
Well, there's a lot to get to. I mean, starting with the kind of the bombshell this morning with LaMarcus Aldridge having to step away, retire because of an irregular heartbeat. That's that's terrible for him. And you would say it's terrible for the Nets, except he was only there for like 10 minutes. You know, they could just plug DeAndre Jordan back in there if they want. They can go small when Kevin comes back. I think Tom Thibodeau will probably end up being coach of the year or darn close. But Steve Nash, the job that he's done, if you go all the way back to Kyrie just going AWOL and then they bring James Harden in and now he's got to figure it out. Steve does. And then all these guys start getting hurt and missing games. And like you said, they're still 37-18 or whatever. He has gotten the most out of every last role player that they have. They had these major trades. They had a huge injury with Dinwiddie. So I think the East is tough. I do. I mean, I think you can make a case for the Sixers. You could even make a case for Milwaukee. I like Brooklyn to come out of the East, but it's going to be fascinating to see basically on the fly how Kyrie, KD, and Harden do this with not very much time together at all.
It's funny you mentioned Tibbs. You look down, they've won four in a row. They're 29-27, and they're in the sixth seed. The lowly and woeful New York Knicks. We're going to get them on our TVs in the spring, huh?
I think so, man. And, I mean, Julius Randle is awesome. He's awesome. And then other than him, you know, here's a name that both, you know, our markets can reminisce over. Alec Burks.
Yeah.
He's killing it. He's killing it. He had 14 of his 21 last night in the fourth quarter for the Knicks. So I don't know. It's like a Tibbs team. You know, they have Derrick Rose. They have Taj Gibson, and he's just getting everything out of them that he can. So he's doing a great job for sure.
Good stuff, man. All right, Joe, fun to catch up and chew the fat, and maybe let your 10-year-old fill out the MVP ballot, all right?
I'll do that. Hey, listen, really quick to all your listeners out there in the Bay Area, I've got a cool story coming next week that Draymond is at the center of, and I don't want to give away too much. It's a different story, but Draymond spoke to me exclusively for it, and it explains sort of what happens after he does something that he's famous for doing. It's a pretty cool story. Make sure you check it out at The Athletic next week.
Okay, Draymond. It's not about $4,000 bottles of wine, is it? No.
It's not that's the Baxter Holmes beat. That's not me.
Okay. All right, Joe. Be good, man. We'll catch up down the road.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.